Yes, I think it took me a long time to understand that death was going to change me. I kept trying to keep things as they were. And this is many people have lost someone. They keep the room the same. They keep the clothes. They keep the shoes. That's fine for a while until you understand that death is a change among many changes. Everything changes, and death is just one change. And if you can accept that change, then you can open yourself up again to life. So I think I began by saying, although it was a hard saying, I will not recover. And I meant that in a drastic way because my husband was central to my life, but I also meant it in a therapeutic way in the sense that saying that reminded me I could never go back to the same space, that I would have to try beginning where I was to make a new life for myself. So when people said, have you recovered yet? I say, you never recover from something like this, but that doesn't mean you can't make a new life. You can make a new life. And in that sense, you can heal.
And what helped you in the healing process?
Many things. My friends, I abandoned myself to my friends. I realized it was like childbirth. I couldn't help myself. I needed other people. I realized, too, that one of the things that was badly ruptured was trust. I really didn't think the sun would come up the next day. I didn't think my life could go on because something so fundamental had been taken away from me so suddenly. And when I realized it was trust, then I began to practice things that were trusting. I took up yoga and meditation because that opened me, and particularly it opened me to pain, which was terrible. The pain was so frightening because it was also physical. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat properly. I couldn't even find a comfortable position to stay in. And I knew if I stayed on like that, I would be sick. So I found if I did meditation or if I went to a quiet place, I went back to church because it had form, it had shape, and it was a place where I could be in pain and feel that pain was welcome, that it was all right to suffer there. I didn't have to be happy. I didn't have to be successful. I looked around me at church and I saw people who were blind. I saw people who were old. I saw people who were sick. I knew some of them were grieving, and I felt at home. So I found places I was at home, and I tried to have practices in which I could just open myself to the pain and say, this is only pain. It's neither good nor bad. And in one way, because I'm lucky because I'm a woman who married and had children, and I realized in childbirth there was a model for positive pain, for pain that if you could open yourself to it would allow a new life to be born. And actually, the prenatal courses I did, which taught me a form of yoga, were immensely helpful because I said I tried to imagine myself as almost bearing a new life for myself, as not even putting up with the pain, but allowing the pain, allowing it to take over me in waves as it did and say, okay, this is not going to be a good day. Sometimes I would pray that things would change, that it be a better day. Sometimes I'd just say, today I'm going to crawl along the bottom of the sea with this heavy weight on me, with very little light, but someday I know that the natural motion of the salt water and the waves will lift me up. And that's what happened.
Now, you also talk about grieving in a happy world. And I think a lot of people would resonate with that, trying to go through your grieving process and everybody else seems to be doing fine.
Yes, well, you know, it's an obligation, as you know, to be happy and also to be successful all the time and everywhere. This is one of the curses of the modern world. They don't recognize the ancient wisdom, which is in the Greeks, it's in Christianity, it's in Buddhism. Life is suffering and life is a tragedy. And unless you've learned that, you haven't lived. So people are in denial, particularly Western society, I think, as opposed to Asian society. And they are in denial, and so they want to avoid you. They want to avoid the pain, or they want you to stop being in pain. They want you to take a pill. They want you to recover. They want you to put it right. And I think I did some service by refusing that in the kindest and most straightforward and honest way I could, by telling people that I was in pain, telling them how they could help me, but also just allowing, as I say, allowing the pain and not being ashamed of it. I think that modern society tries to make you ashamed. Once I burst into tears after, of all things, Mozart's Requiem, and the audience was looking at me in horror, and my companion said to me, "You have a right to cry. Cry as much as you want. Your husband has just died." This was within the year of his death. And at that point, I got angry, and I said, "I have a right to grieve." And I said, "I have a right to cry. I have a right to talk about him. I have a right to be, if I want, distraught. As long as I don't inflict pain on others, as long as they simply understand that this is my way of expressing my grief." And that liberated me enormously. But I realized the problem was not me, that I was standing at the center of human existence. The problem was with people who wanted to deflect, and they did not want to stand at the center of human existence. They did not want to acknowledge these realities. They wanted to get on with a relatively superficial consumerist life in which one of the products is happiness.